From the studios of Wavefront Audio Visual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 61 of Little Brother for the 20th of November, 2021. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So let's get started. The quarterly financial results for Vizio Corporation, best known for manufacturing smart TVs, were released last week and demonstrate a dismaying truth. Among the figures showing things that excite accountants and put the rest of us to sleep, we find a pair of line items under the heading of gross profit. The first of these, predictably enough, is device, which translates as sales of actual physical units. When you wander into a store and buy a TV, this is the line you're contributing to. The other line is Platform Plus, which translates to money made on smart TVs by virtue of those smart TVs being smart after the TV is sold. Suitably enough, TVs are not, or at least not yet, loss leaders. But the profit made this way is more than twice of what they make on the initial sales of TVs. What this translates to for you and me, however, as the potential buyer of such a TV, is more tracking of what you watch and, of course, more advertisements pushing you in the direction of subscribing to services who have paid for that privilege. AT&T have uncovered a new malware implemented in Go, which impacts the broadband routers that we all have in our homes. It has a collection of 19 different vulnerabilities that it may attempt to exploit on your router, any of which will enable it to add your router to a botnet. The malware, named Botenago, performs its infection using HTTP, suggesting that leaving your administration interface accessible is a substantial portion of the problem. It is important to understand, however, that it doesn't matter what you are using for a password. This attack doesn't require the attacking system to log in. I have two suggested solutions for this. The first one, if it's something you're comfortable doing and your router is compatible with it, is to use open source firmware such as DDWRT, OpenWRT, Tomato, or Leak. Not because they're perfect, but because this specific attack doesn't work on them. The other, as always, is, if possible, patch your systems. Reddit user The Dark Snarf posted on Monday that Adobe Systems was down. In a sane reality, this wouldn't be much of an issue. However, Adobe has adopted a licensing structure in which your systems are required to check in with their systems periodically in order to ensure that you've paid your bill. There is no solution for this when it goes wrong. Software vendors who use this approach tie your ability to use the software that you have paid for to your computer's ability to reach the internet and in turn to reach their servers. In episode 55, I mentioned that Facebook had managed to completely remove themselves from the internet for a day or so. If a software vendor should ever make a similarly sized mistake, productivity of creative talent all around the world could grind to a complete stop with no workaround until the issue is resolved. Unfortunately, much like Microsoft and Google, Adobe have a fairly tight lock on the markets in which they operate, despite the presence of open source and otherwise lesser known alternatives to many of their products. And it may take such an event to make the market seek out those alternatives. On the topic of things being down and causing chaos, the BBC is reporting that a number of Tesla owners have found themselves locked out of their vehicles or unable to start them as a result of an IT outage at the electric car maker's facilities. The problem stems from owners who use an app to unlock their vehicles. There are other mechanisms available to open and operate the car, such as a key or a fob. However, if you did not bring those with you, expecting your car to respond to the app, then an IT outage such as this makes your car unusable. At the end of it all, Tesla CEO and founder Elon Musk tweeted, quote, "Apologies, we will take measures to ensure that this doesn't happen again. My recommendation is to forget the app and just carry your keys like you've always done." And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. YouTube have taken a decision that dislike counts are no longer to be made visible to users. In a video on the 10th of this month, YouTube creator liaison Matt Koval spoke for about 3 minutes explaining and defending the decision. In the video, he claims that there have been organized groups who are attacking videos by downvoting them en masse, a practice known, or at least on Reddit, as brigading. The brigades taking these actions were, according to the YouTube claims, being done for sport, with the downvote count being an easily spotted verification of the score. They further claim that they experimented with removing this for some viewers and that it didn't have an observable effect on viewer engagement. Detractors from this move point out, correctly, that this makes the data represented by the upvote count less clear. You are left with no idea how many votes overall were made on the video or any other data to provide a sense of the actual balance of likes to dislikes. Brigading notwithstanding, and I for one do not believe it to be the problem that YouTube makes it out to be, this moves one more component of the engagement algorithms out of the plain view and turns YouTube into that much more of a black box. For what it's worth, YouTube founder Jawed Karim, who has the distinction of being the creator of the oldest video on YouTube titled Me at the Zoo and posted in 2005, has changed the description of this video to express his disagreement with the decision on the part of YouTube's current corporate decision makers. Meta Inc., formerly known as Facebook, is being sued by the state of Ohio on behalf of anyone who acquired Facebook stock between April 29th and October 21st of this year. The class action suit alleges that Meta has committed an egregious breach of the public trust by knowingly exploiting its most vulnerable users, including children around the world, and lying about the steps that they take to prevent their network from being used to spread harmful content. The lawsuit claims, quote, "Facebook investors recently learned the truth when former Facebook employee turned whistleblower Francis Haugen came forward with internal documents showing the defendants were aware that Facebook's platforms facilitate dissension, illegal activity, and violent extremism, and cause significant harm to users, especially children. But Facebook refused to correct these issues," end quote. While this event is what triggered the lawsuit, it wouldn't normally be a cause of action in and of itself for a civil case, but Ohio AG Dave Yost has instead latched on to the effect that it has had on Facebook's stock. Facebook's stock fell sharply near the end of last month as a result of the Haugen revelations, reducing the company's value by approximately $100 million. Thank you. And you know what that music means. It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwned This Week. First up this week is the Israeli government. A hacking group calling themselves Moses Staff claimed to have collected 22 terabytes of data, including 3D satellite imagery taken to an accuracy of 5 centimeters, or if you prefer the outdated measures we use here in the US, 2 inches. They published this boast on their Twitter account, which has been promptly suspended, inviting visitors to their website and Telegram channel for more information. Now, what is interesting about this one, though, is that it seems pretty clear that it's a politically motivated attack. The language used in their tweet is the sort of over-the-top rhetoric that one might expect, referring to the state of Israel as, quote, the criminal Zionist government, end quote. And perhaps more importantly, they have made no ransom demand. None. They don't want your money. The goal here appears to have been damage rather than profit, plain and simple. This is, of course, predictable, as hacktivism is not a new phenomenon. And coupled with the increased availability of malware, I'm hard-pressed to understand why something of this nature didn't happen sooner. Oh yeah, lest I forget, patch your systems. Now, perhaps more traditional, California Pizza Kitchen suffered a data breach that exposed the social security numbers of around 100,000 current and former users. The breach apparently occurred in September, and the company had discovered it in October, leaving two questions. One, what took them so long to discover it? And two, what then took them so long to reveal it? This is not strictly corporate information. This is HR. When HR data is involved, it can have direct consequences on the lives of real, individual, working-class people. This is not acceptable. In a classic example of a corporation taking it seriously, a California Pizza Kitchen spokesperson said that, quote, information security is among our highest priorities, and we have strict security measures in place to protect the information in our care, end quote. Well, Skippy, you had me fooled. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Azrael, Thriller at Play, Mystere 73, Fongaboo, and Knight Rider 007 for bringing stories to my attention. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarahad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email. critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. The class action suit alleges that Meta has committed an egregious The clash action, isn't it?